Wow, Memorial Weekend. I know there's a lot of people out of town. If people that were out of town were here today, we'd have quite a full church. But I'm thankful for those that came on this holiday today. And it is Memorial Day. Normally, people go and put flags on gravestones. They remember people that have passed and people that have gone on. I think it's there is something in Scripture to say to look forward, but I think you also remember and never forget the people that went ahead of you, to give them honor. And there's something about that that's also in the Word. So sometimes when people read one Scripture, they forget of other precepts in the Bible too. The things you put behind you is the old junk the devil did. You know why you put it behind you? Because it's gone forever. And there's going to be a time where he is gone forever, right? Right. So I'm going to begin in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. So you can go ahead and put that on the board. And I'm going to tell you already, if this sounds familiar, I brought this out of my sermon vault and preached this sermon right when COVID hit. And it kept coming back. It would not go away. And it was about, 4 years ago where I talked about establishing, decreeing things over this church. And as I look down this list of things, and I'm going to go over them today, I want you to make note of what has changed since I did that, what God has done in this church, how he has answered that. You're going to find some things he's brought into good fruition, some things are happening, he's working on them, and other things have waited. And so my question to the Lord was, why have some things waited and other things? But here's what it says in this passage. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. When we send up prayers to God, when we get words from the Holy Ghost prophetically, when we decree and declare things that we know are in the will of God, I don't want you to be thrown. If you notice, this writing here says to wait for it. And sometimes we get words and then the next day we're saying, okay, Lord, you said this, where is it? And how many of you know, if you read in your scriptures the promises of God, that he has his own time clock? Amen. Sometimes things swiftly come to pass. Sometimes you have to, what it says, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. And you're thinking, well, it seems like it's tarrying to me, Lord, right? Let me go down here. I don't know about you, but every time I read this passage, it excites me. Because I think he's telling us to do the thing, when God drops something in you, write it down. Write the vision down. We would not even have the Bible, the Word of God, if they did not pen prophecies and words of God that they received. We wouldn't have this to go on. We wouldn't be able to listen to his Word through the written Word of God, correct? This is an exercise that every one of us can do. Now, it's never going to replace the Bible. If we start wanting to do that, we're in deep trouble. But God is a present-day God. He speaks today. He has direction for your life. He can help you or those around you, and we should not ignore his voice. God desires for his people to have vision. You know, without that, we perish. A church without vision perishes. It just exists. And I've never been too thrilled about just existing. I like to be excited about my life and things coming up and have things to look forward to. And that's the kind of God God is. He always has something, if you notice in his word, for his people to look forward to that he's going to do. God desires for his people to have vision, to ignite and move into what he has for you in this precious life he's given you. And I've always been big about writing things down. When you do this, you establish something. I'm just like Merrill. Merrill and I have a lot in common. If you notice Merrill in his pocket, I got the same thing. I have my little, I don't know what I'd do without my index cards that I get at Dollar General store, man. I write things down all day long so I don't forget them, and I prioritize them so I know what the most important thing to do daily is. It's just what I do. When you do this, you're establishing something. You're moving it from just being a thought to putting it down in a concrete form, building a foundation in which you can direct your faith and cause it to happen. When God, and remember, he said to speak those things are not as though they are. When God is behind it and you are in agreement with him, nothing, not even the devil himself, can stop it when real God-given faith is applied to it. Did you hear me there? When God is behind it and you are in agreement with him, nothing, not even the devil himself, can stop it when real God-given faith is applied to it. Do you think man is stronger than God? I think not. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And here's the condition. If you can believe, how many of you can believe? Amen. Just raising your hand is an act of faith. When you raise your hand, yes, you can believe. If you raise that hand, you can believe. Yes. Most people don't reach their God-given destiny because they never seek God for what he desires for them in the first place. You would be amazed at what God wants to accomplish in and through you if only you knew it. John 7:38, he who believes in me, this is Jesus speaking, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers, plural, of living water. Amen. Did you notice Jesus said rivers, not just one single river? Rivers of living water is that of his spirit, and it flows out of you, and it reaches people around you, and they're dying of thirst, and it brings life to those around you. Man, I remember being up in the upper, we called it the upper room at AT&T, where I gave Bible studies once a month at AT&T to the employees there, and upper level management would come in. I'd get a little nervous, but I thought, I'm preaching Jesus no matter if the president of the company's in here, but they'd come into the Bible study. And one day I took a break up there, and I went clear to the top floor. It was a big old conference room up there, and you can oversee, it was right downtown Indianapolis, 220, 240 North Meridian. You can oversee the city. And I was up there walking around praying in tongues. It was just me, so I wasn't going to confuse somebody who didn't know what I was doing. One time, I was at work in a room. I'm digressing in a bunch of directions. But anyway, there I was at my terminal. Nobody was in the room. And I thought, I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll let the Holy Ghost pray. God knows that he needs to intercede. And I'm praying in the Spirit. And this woman came in. I didn't know she was in the room. And she goes, Kevin, who are you talking to? And I go, to God. And she goes, oh, okay. And she left. I don't know if she ever, I felt bad about it. I didn't want her to think I was nuts. Sometimes you got to be careful how you utilize gifts of the Spirit. You know, there's a proper use of that. But I was up in that upper room praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I could see these rivers, and they turned into oceans, and they were moving and full of life. I went into the spiritual realm, and they were flowing in me and out of me and through me. And I did something you've never seen me do in church. I was running around that conference room. Of course, it was just me. And I will tell you, if I ever run around this church like that, you're going to know it's the Holy Ghost, because that's just not normally me, but it can happen. But there I was. I got wild, and my break got over. And now I had to get in the elevator and go back down to the computer room and be dignified and try to work. I know they thought I was nipping on the sauce when I got back to work, because I was, I don't want to use the term higher than a kite, but I was really, Bill understands that terminology, but I was, man, the Holy Spirit, I was so filled with the Holy Spirit, I just went back into that workplace, and I don't know what people thought, but that was one, why he chose to meet me there that day, that's his business. But it was just like those rivers of living water became real and alive. Churches, bodies of believers, you know, this water is the Holy Spirit flowing out of us, bringing life to everyone he touches, bringing and demonstrating the kingdom of God from heaven to earth. Churches, bodies of believers who labor together are not any different when it comes to God's destiny being fulfilled in us together. If we don't seek the Lord for us, his destiny for Corinth Church, and our desire for him to fulfill it in us as a body, how can we expect God to do it? In other words, you should expect things. God has congregations of churches for a reason. He established his church, right? So he has a destiny not only for you as an individual, but also I believe every church that is following him, every New Testament church has a destiny and something God wants to do in them. He puts angels, assigns angels over those churches for reasons. So we should all have vision together here at Corinth, and our faith should be activated, and we should be, as the scripture says, writing the vision and making it plain upon tablets, so to speak, for our church body as we labor together. Now, when I gave this, I kind of felt like, other than a couple of people that I fellowship with a lot in this church, I kind of felt like I was speaking to people and they were just giving me a glassy look. And this was right at the time COVID was hitting. I know that I gave it to the congregation. I know I didn't just put it out over the internet. But now, what I am very thankful for is I'm seeing a body of believers that are now proclaiming and decreeing as well. One of the times I see it a lot is on Friday night when they come in and praise and worship. And there's a lot of decrees and things spoken. And it's just totally free worship and praise and letting God speak. If you've not experienced that and you want to go in again, that, oh, please come Friday night. But I think it's, what, around 6 o'clock? You can fall in at any time and go at any time. But I'm telling you, I began to see this now starting to happen. So now I don't feel so alone. I want you to know, and I said this back then, I said, I've already done this for the year 2021. And what I was telling people was, I decreed things over the year 2021. And I'm going to read to you the things I decreed and wrote down over this church. And I want to share these visions again. I don't want us to forget them. And I want you to just look at the temperature of this church and say, what has been fulfilled? What has not been fulfilled? What is God doing here? You should be aware of what God is doing in your midst. You should not be oblivious to it. The first thing I wrote down was, I said, I wrote the vision that our prayer room be filled with those praying the kingdom down on earth as it is in heaven. We had just created the prayer room. And I said that hungry souls would touch heaven in a mighty way that would be felt outside the room. So what I was decreeing was that room would be full. We'd be praying in that room and that people would feel it outside this church. And since that time, there are times that room has been filled. People have been praying. And yes, people outside of here are feeling it. Because even in the last month, there's been people wandering in off the street in this church. Do you know that we have declared deliverance over 4 people in the last 6 weeks that have come in from the outside of the church? Man walked in here a couple weeks ago. I'm in my office. He comes in the office, recognizes me as the pastor. He says, I need prayer. And, you know, and he's kind of pacing like this. And I thought, okay, what's this about? This is the most recent thing. Now I'm sitting at my desk. I'm really, frankly, I wasn't sure I was in the mood for this sort of thing. But he wants prayer. I can pray. Then I get up and I come around my desk because I couldn't get him to sit down in the chair. And the minute I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, suddenly he starts flopping. Suddenly he turns dark red, a color like Barbie sweater. And down on the floor he goes, and you ever see a fish? I know Patrick used to do, he's a fisherman, flopping on the floor. That's what he was doing. And I'm going, you know, Lord, you didn't warn me about this. The guy had a devil. It was a demon, and he didn't know what to do. And he comes in here and wants prayer. This is what this is what was decreed back then. And this may happen more and more. We need to be ready for it. And you guys have experienced some things in the service where people have just come in. And I suppose I've got to put on my adjustable Holy Ghost cap when this stuff happens. We can't be so programmed that, okay, wait, you know, whatever. But you know what? That demon came out so quickly out of that man. Came out quickly. And he began to cry. I'm not sure he was aware of what happened to him. But he said, I feel so much better. And he was crying and all that. And all I knew from the guy is he come from the east side, east to Indy somewhere. And anyway, that's another story. But listen, these things happen. That hungry souls in the prayer room when we pray would touch heaven in a mighty way that would be felt outside the room. That's what I declared. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Some of the most powerful things happen when we're in prayer. And guess what? They're doing the same thing on Friday night. It's a lot more freer because on Wednesday night we pray and then we got about an hour and we're trying to get it all in. But Friday night's wide open. And yes, it can get pretty wild in the Holy Ghost in here. But I can tell you, every time I have come, I've always went home glad I came. Can't always make it to every Friday, but when I do, I'm blessed. So thank you, Sherry, and the people that's been going on, you know, at the end of the week for years. But man, has it come alive. I wrote the vision 4 years ago that the anointing of the Lord here upon this, that the anointing of the Lord would be here upon this body and in this place, and it would break the bondage of, now get this, break the bondage of all the enemy here, delivering people from addictions and all demonic bondages, oppression, and possession. That doctrines of devils would not ever have a home here, but only the word of the Lord Jesus Christ be in this church. So I decreed that the anointing would be here in us, amongst us, through us, that when people come in, they just start getting delivered. And don't be surprised. And sometimes if we have demons manifesting, we might want to get the kids out, you know, because we don't want them having nightmares. But now we're starting to see this happen. Didn't Jesus say one of the signs that would follow believers, the first thing he said is, in my name they will cast out devils. And it doesn't seem like a coincidence to me that when Jackie was led to do a deliverance team, the minute we started doing that, and we may be wobbly and maybe not perfect in everything we go about doing it, but God has honored it, Jackie, and we're going to see more in Jesus' name. Total victory in people. Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken from off your shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Because of the anointing. And you can pray and ask for that anointing to break the yoke of bondage to anybody who comes in this place or gets even around you as a person. You can pray for that anointing to be on you. I wrote the vision that Corinth Church would move more deeply and more completely in all the gifts of the Spirit as stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that the gifts of the Spirit would edify the body here to be more mature, have direction, and operate fully in the power of the Holy Ghost. That in so doing, those far and wide and the unsaved would be drawn ultimately to Jesus himself and be saved under this power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit in this body of believers. Now, boy, when I decreed that, I didn't know that I was taking out a Holy Ghost fan and there were going to be people scatter. You know, when I said this 4 years ago, oh, I got amens from people. Now we start moving in it. Prophecies, tongues, interpretations. And oh, my goodness, there have been folks get up in arms, leave the church. Oh, they wanted to praise it, but then when it happened, I'm not backing off. Kind of sad. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Do you get that? Every man, every man. Yes, that's man, women, and even children. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these works that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he chooses. So you know what? That is New Testament Christianity. And there are people that proclaim to know all kinds of stuff about the Bible, but they want to take out a pair of scissors and cut that whole chapter out, cut chapter 14 out. Oh, that's not for today. And who are you to ever say that? Because my Bible says differently, that he's given it to every man in the church. And at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, it tells you when this will end. And it says when we see him face to face, because right now we see through a glass darkly. We need the illumination. We need the direction of the Holy Ghost until we meet him face to face, until we're in heaven. And then, of course, we won't need that anymore. That same chapter says knowledge will vanish away. Yet people seem to think that, I don't know what they do with that. Knowledge has not vanished away. I don't know what they do with the scripture. They say, oh, those things passed away in 200 A.D., yet my Bible says, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, and he says it's in the last days. So how dare you twist the word of God and cut that stuff out of the Bible? Please pray to repent of that. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with all one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. How many people, quiz time, how many were up in the upper room when that happened? The Bible says it. 120 people, men and women. And yet there are people that stand up and say, only the 12 apostles did that. They don't even read their Bible. I wrote the vision of a sudden outpouring of the Holy Spirit that would be here at this church as on the day of Pentecost. That this outpouring would be of a greater intensity as experienced in Pensacola, Florida, at the Brownsville Assemblies of God, and at Toronto, Canada. That God would pour out his Spirit at least one more time before the return of Jesus Christ. That I can see and observe this move as it was at Whale. I want to see his glory. I want to see him move. In Azusa Street at the beginning of the last century, which spread around the world, I pray, I've been declaring that we'll do it one more time. And I have one thing to stand on here with this decree, and that was a prophetic act that was done on this church that you all, most all of you know about, with a neighbor across the street that saw flames coming off of this building and thought our church was on fire and called the fire department right in the middle of church services. And in they came, wanting to know where the fire was. To me, that was prophetic of what God was going to do and is going to do in this church. And so I hold on to it. And so I decree it and declare it to be in the will of God. He showed it. That was an unchurched person that saw that. What do you think that was for? Just for theatrics? There was a reason. I wrote down the vision that the sound of the believer here at Corinth would be heard throughout the earth, that the rivers of living water would flow from here in every direction, so that the lost would not just be saved by the thousands, but by the millions. Now that may sound wild to you, but my God says not to limit him. And your sound can go in through all the earth. It happened back in biblical days. But look at what we've got today. We've got at our disposal things to spread the gospel and his fire through the internet and everything else. So God bless those that have established things online. And we're doing that now here in our church. I'm praying that we keep expanding that and keep expanding that. But Emily, she has a website. I encourage you guys to step out and do this. You can minister from your home. If you would do it. Thank God for Shalita, who has looked at our website and wants to make it more white. She is working on updating it. I'm seeing changes already. God sent you, sister. You're a great gift and a blessing to us. And I just got through filling out a bunch of data for her, the history of the church and our missionaries and what they do and sending pictures and different things. And I enjoyed every minute of it. I wrote down the vision that we would be heard throughout the earth. And the Bible says in Psalm 19, 3 through 5, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not here. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is the as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. We need to blow that trumpet. We need to proclaim his gospel. He says, when this gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world, then the end will come. Then he will split the sky. When we finish our job proclaiming his kingdom and giving the good news to that last person, and God knows who, by his foreknowledge, who that will be, then he will come. And we call it the rapture of the church. And some people get nitpicky about that. Okay, catching away, whatever you want to call it. He's coming to gather his bride. I wrote some practical things back then. I wrote the vision that Corinth Church would strengthen that which remains as ordered in the Word, that we would be aware of all the things that we have here put in place by the will of God and ask Jesus to bless and multiply it, that we would walk in the fruit of the Spirit and under the direction of the Holy Spirit more perfectly. So those things we see here at church, I said, Lord, I want to decree that we look at those things you've established, honor them, and strengthen them. Even our heritage, even those wonderful people that went before us. Now, today's Memorial Day. And I remember, you know, it was kind of fun doing the history of the church. I went over some things, you know, and I typed it up for Alicia. And I was thinking of this Mary Nice gal that founded our church. And her picture's over here. Look at her eyes. She looks like she has those intense Holy Ghost eyes. And did you know that she was responsible for establishing this church? She saw the need of a church body here, and she was a Methodist, but it was a different Methodist than what you see today. It was the old-time Methodist, and they met in that schoolhouse over there, first sermon. And the first message was preached in this church was that he would establish his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. What vision! That woman moved, and when people freak out about, oh my gosh, are there present-day apostles? Of course they are. That's what an apostle does. Mary Nice was an apostle to this church. She established, she saw the need. She gathered, she found the minister. She got a hold of the Methodist conference, and she got that stuff together, and the church has been here to this day. Amen. Think of all the souls that have been saved through all that 135 years now. God bless her. So strengthen the things which remain. So looking at this command, I wrote some visions out concerning the command that relate to our church in a more personal way. And I remember writing this down. I wrote the vision that Corinth would be a place of study and education in the Word. Capital W-O-R-D, the Word. Jesus became the Word. As we establish a library, even if it's small at first, now believe me, this is before the library got organized back there, that this place would be a place of learning in His Word that would eventually grow into a greater place of spiritual education for those of every age hungry for God. Now, here's what happened after I've decreed that. A woman came into this church named Michelle Metzger, and God laid it on her heart to go back and labor in that room and put all those books together, ever how small and humble that is. And so don't be surprised when I get protective over that room. I don't want it to just be a catch-all for all our clutter. Because that is a seed there that's supposed to grow into something bigger. Shalita, I'm thinking of our website at some point having teachings on it and things that people can pull up and read. They can hear our sermons, of course, but things that we teach here and things that we establish here for people. You know, we did this in Evansville. We had a website called Bible Headquarters, ORG. Adam put it together. And after a period of a few years, it had over 1 million hits on that thing. 1 million people around the world looked at our website and learned from it. So may we develop even further. So it isn't just a little place where there's books where people can study and music we can listen to. But let's take that place serious and let's finish developing that. God bless Michelle for doing that. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, and I want you to know, everything I decree here, I'm not just going willy-nilly out of the will of God. I'm not telling you here to decree anything and everything. Make sure you're in tune with the will of God. You can't want the neighbor's Mercedes and start decreeing and declaring that it's going to be yours. Get it? It's called covetousness. You don't do that. The Bible says, and I decreed about this library, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A practical vision statement I wrote down was that we will get a clear word of direction from the Holy Spirit concerning what to do with the land we've been given to the west of this church building. And there it sits, that God would use this land for His glory every day of the year. Now, I haven't opened much of this up. Maybe a few of you, I haven't even talked to our elders about this, so you guys can bean me over the head later about this because I do need to bring it up. How many of you, some of you don't know, I have been in discussion with a dear friend of mine, Stan Lovins, about doing something with this property. And I don't know, we're praying for God's will, and I would have to go to the elders, would have to work out details, but we talked about building an activation center over here where people learn to move in the flow of the Holy Spirit to witness to people. We talked about that place out here, and he believes he can come up with the funds to do it, that would have a homeschooling-type church environment, a collective homeschool for people that want to get their kids out of public school, all kinds of things over here. I don't know about you, but every time I see that property, you know, I get an obsession about it. It drives me crazy. It shouldn't just sit there. And thank God for one man in this place, Blake, who takes care of it and makes it look beautiful and keeps it that way. But God gave us this land back in the 70s. And we need to do something with it. And some people want me to be, I remember an evangelist told me that I should believe God for a $40 million church here. Oh no, you guys know that's not me. I think if we ever outgrew this building, I would be looking somewhere to establish a church. I keep looking at that little building in Maplewood. It really bugs me. That little church sitting there at Maplewood. You guys know what I'm talking about. There's a little church there at the four-way at Maplewood, south of where Jeff Gordon lived. And there that church sits, and now it's a theater, and every now and then they have things in it. I got to thinking, man, if we ever outgrew this place and we had some people that were raised up here to teach and preach, I'd like to establish, plan a little church right there in Maplewood because they don't have anything there. You know, just thoughts like, that's me. I'm not into the $40 million big edifice and then my name's on a brick out there somewhere. You know, that's nothing but flesh. I'm sorry. This is not what, it's His kingdom. But look, we got this land out here, and there it sits. And here's what Jesus said in Matthew 25, 20 and 21. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents here, and I've made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And there was one guy that received talents and did nothing with them. He just hid them in a napkin, and he got judged. And we should be doing everything we can with our church to glorify God. And it doesn't mean just have a piece of property set out here and look pretty year-round, right? All right. So there has been movement there, and I will get with the elders and talk to them about that. I don't know if that's where God's going to lead us or not, neither to stand, but we're talking about it. And it's the most movement I've seen in years, so we'll talk about that. Here's one that has always been a, if I was a clam, this would be my grain of sand, and I would hope a pearl would form out of it. But I wrote the vision that the children's ministry here would flourish to the extent that we have to use our church bus every week to pick up these kids that are not churched, and that we have those Spirit-filled teachers to lead and guide them to Jesus so they will not depart from Him when they are old. Because Jesus said, Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And if I have to keep standing and believing and declaring till I see that manifest, that's what's going to happen. Will some of you join me in that? It's high time we start making kids a priority and we start getting a burden for them because Jesus is watching. He's watching what we're doing with these precious souls. And if you look at, here's something that I know that Reverend Tyler knew back in the day at Bethesda. Well, if you win people to Jesus at a young age, then you have them. So many people, when they get older and you haven't won them to Christ, don't come to Christ. I'm a product of that. Age 12. Never forget it. I also wrote down the vision that our teenagers here at Corinth grow, know the Lord personally in salvation, be baptized in the Holy Ghost, that they would become downright radical for Jesus. You just imagine that. Bunch of teenagers coming into this church, and they get saved and filled with the power of God, and they just get wild in Jesus. Can you imagine that? Listen, I worked with teenagers in my younger life, and there's nothing more beautiful than when teenagers get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're just as real as can be. They're not phony Christians, and I've seen those teens do things that I never saw adults do. Never forgot it. That they would be, by God's power, reach their own generation, thus defying the spirit of this age, fully overcoming the enemy. And God's Spirit can do that even in this late hour. We got a whole generation that is lost. They don't know about Jesus. They don't know. They're being dumped on with all kinds of strange things. But I know the power of God, and I know the power of His Spirit. He can raise up a standard. You know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. So he has the power. Never underestimate his power and feel overwhelmed by it. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And I think if we had an actual age of Timothy, we would be shocked. And what Timothy was called to do, and Titus was the same way. He was not old. He was young too. And they were over there establishing elders. And yet I've been told in this church, oh, the person's not old enough. Well, they could be like my age. We don't have time for that. The average age of each disciple that Jesus chose, I think, was in their 20s. And they established the foundation of the church. So don't talk to me about age and somebody being... I mean, you know, we talk that way clear to the grave, and then nothing happens. That's ridiculous. This is what makes us older folks nervous. I wrote the vision down that our younger generation would flood this place in numbers, becoming more and more numerous here than us older folks. That these young adults would be unshakable in their faith, not driven by the religious traditions of men and not God, but rather that they would be driven by a radical love for Jesus that would turn our surrounding towns and communities upside down, just as the early church did. Can you imagine when I said younger generation, people in their 20s and 30s? Yes, and now I'm starting to see more of them come into this church. Don't you guys go anywhere. We need you badly. We need you to bring your friends. We need the life. And yes, you might be volatile and all you are, but this is what God can use. Don't go anywhere. And Dave, don't get nervous, but I really want them flooding us out. We should be working ourselves out of a job. Do you get what I'm saying? We got to pass this torch on to the next generation. Every church needs to do that or the church will die. Just because Corinth is old doesn't mean they can't be young. Think about that one. But when they did not find him, Acts 17:6, when they did not find them, they dragged out Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "Those who have turned the world upside down have come here too." What a wonderful thing. They got everything shook up. In my vision statements, I wrote, now get this, Alex. Get this. In my vision statements, I wrote that God would continue to send Alex and the worship team more anointed and gifted Jesus-loving musicians that would flow together in a powerful way as the Holy Spirit leads. And back then, Alex was so discouraged. He kept trying to find people, and they wouldn't work out, or they ended up in some kind of sin, and then he had to deal with that. It was just a big mess, and I remember Alex being so discouraged. And then I saw Alex just settle down. I'm putting this in your hands, God. I'm just going to come up here and I'm going to worship. And then started coming people like Sherry. And I mean, and what we have today, Shalita, Daniel, all. And do you see how God's forming it? It won't be long. We're going to have a drummer in that cage. Good one at that. She's good. And we are working to finally finish that cage. Right, Alex? Thank you, Jesus. But I decreed that he would start bringing these people in, but they would be of his choosing, and they would blend and mold together and flow in the Spirit. I wrote that our praise and worship continue to go deeper in the Spirit and in truth as we worship him. I wrote that his glory cloud would fill the place as we see in Scripture. Now I see it's moving more and more. Maybe some of you wonder what's going on. I don't know. Maybe some of you stand back there. Hold on. rivers of living water. And you're saying, my gosh, you know. But have you noticed lately when they're singing, people are being drawn to the altar? Things are, this is God's will. And if you think it's just some weird new thing I'm thinking up, we go back to 2 Chronicles 5, 13 and 14. This is before the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the church. And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And by the way, how many trumpets were there? Help me. 400. Can you imagine when they got together for temple worship? They could probably hear it clear to Saudi Arabia. I don't know if Saudi Arabia was called Saudi Arabia back then, but imagine that. Imagine that. And that's in praise. They praised God, and it was not quiet. When they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Can you imagine? And I would love to see that day when we're praising God and he comes in with such power that this mist, this cloud, and you know, Bill talked about that. He saw that cloud back in the Jesus movement when he was at that place. He didn't know what it was. But imagine it coming in so powerful and so strong that now we're all laying on the floor. And I'll go to some of you and say, "Now, do you believe God can lay you out?" You know, because I have a lot. But there's an example of it right there in Chronicles. It said they couldn't even stand up. They couldn't stay on their feet when the presence of the Lord came. And we are in a new and more powerful covenant than that. Now, elders, and I'm getting close to done with these visions. In fact, it looks like this is the last one I wrote. I wrote the vision that even our eldership would radically change from glory to glory, that we would train up leaders in our younger generation to eventually lead this body of believers at Corinth, and that more Holy Ghost-filled elders that are called be shepherds to be added to our number. Now, at that time, we did not have Andy. We did not have Alex. And I was speaking for younger men filled with the Spirit that had a knowledge of his word and responsible would start coming on our elder board. Now, there's nothing wrong with older people, but elder doesn't mean in the Bible, the biblical meaning of an elder doesn't mean when you pass 80 years old. That's not what it says. And so now we're seeing it. And I'm going to keep decreeing. I want our board to be filled with young, vibrant people of people in their 30s and 40s and 20s if he sends one that's you know, and let them guide and lead this church in this generation. Because we need their input. We need, you know, we can't be living back in 1922. I mean, we need their input about what's going on. Paul said to become all things to all men. We need you younger people. Don't you go anywhere. Ephesians 4:11 through 13. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Five different offices in the church. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, to the measure and stature and fullness of Christ. And you know, there are people out there that want to cut away almost half of those offices in the church and say again, they're not for today. Apostle and prophet, they want to take them clear out. And it's no wonder the church is so crippled, so anemic, because of people like that, that don't have all those offices function, because the purpose of them is so that we come into the unity of the faith to equip us for the work of the ministry. You'll not cripple this church as long as I'm pastor. We will be establishing all five of those. We will not be again taking a pair of scissors and cutting out parts of the Bible and shaping it the way our flesh wants it, because this is how God established the church. And they will be in the church until the coming of Jesus Christ. I know where I stand in this scripture and what I'm called to do. My primary call in the church is evangelism. evangelism. But in this written vision, I also wrote that we would pray in the next pastor that would lead our congregation in due season. Now, I love you guys. It doesn't mean I'll go anywhere. But part of that fivefold is evangelists. And I decreed that too. And I'm seeing the fires of evangelism starting to burn in this church. And I love it. The day will come, and I know what he's appointed me to do here. Maybe it is that last thing there to firmly establish apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. And our pastors are in place. They're our elders. That's what pastors are. Every elder in this church is a pastor. You know, the official word in the modern church is the assistant pastor. Well, it's the pastors, okay? It's what that is. Just think about how dynamic our church can be. Do you think I was way out there in these decrees? Can you believe with me and make the same decrees? Are there decrees that I missed that you need to be writing down and helping me in decreeing and declaring before the Lord? To do just what Habakkuk said, write the vision on the tablet. Do it. Do you believe God can do all these things and even more? He can even show us great and mighty things which we don't even know about. Because that's Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which you know not of. So I challenge all of you to write your own visions. Put them to prayer. Stand on the word. Come alive, rise and shine, for your light has come. His name is Jesus. Let's go into the future. And back then I said into 2021. But thinking of all these visions, do you see how God has been moving in those? And there's some that are kind of lagging, but I'm trusting in that prophet. I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for it. Sometimes the wait can be what it is, but I'm waiting for it because I know his promises. They are yes and amen. Let's go into this day and age not looking at what's happening in our world, but what God can do in and through us in the midst of this present age. And I ask the question at the end of that message, what is stopping us? Now, with that all said, I'm sitting in here on Friday night, a couple Fridays ago, and I want you to know something, even to lay groundwork, because I'm going to share with you what God showed me on that Friday night. And I had to write it down, because if I tried to explain it, it may not come out right. But ever since I walked into this church in the year 2007, when I came up here to take care of Mom, and I walked into this church, I began a prayer that has never changed in 17 years. God, please mold us and make us into what you want us to be. Remove anything from us that is displeasing to you. And I meant doctrines, I meant anything. And give us what we lack. Supply us with what we lack. And I prayed that simple prayer over this body to mold and make us. It wasn't long after that, and I don't know if I will do it justice, but Emily came along. It wasn't really that far back. Now, I've been praying this way a long time, and I didn't even make the connection. You guys know your pastor's kind of slow. I drive 25 miles an hour, but I get there, and she gave this, and I didn't even make the connection. Remember the prayer I just prayed, Emily? Share what you had about the dough, what you saw.
So Alex and I weren't coming here regularly at the time. But we had come here enough to know that we were supposed to come and help Kevin, just help him. And I was just beginning in my walk as a prophetic person. And one evening, I rolled over in bed and had my very first completely open vision. My eyes were open, and it was like I was in another place, and I could physically see it with my open eyes. And I saw what I perceived to be Jesus's hands. And just the most beautiful hands and the most loving hands you've ever seen. But he had a breadboard, and I could just see his hands, and I could just see this scene, and he had a breadboard out, and he was gathering together flour and water, and he was making a dough. And he was kneading the dough, and he was kneading the dough, and he was kneading the dough. And he would add flour, and he would add water, and he would knead this dough and knead this dough. And every once in a while, he would cut a piece off, and he would throw it to the side. And then he would continue to knead it and knead it. Then he'd take a piece and throw it to the side from this side, and he would knead it and knead it. And then eventually, he started taking this ingredient that looked like gold sparkle, gold dust, and he would mush it into the loaf and the roll, and he would knead the dough. And this process seemed in the spirit like it was forever, but it was probably only a moment. It just seemed like hours he was kneading this dough. But he kept taking pieces away, but he was gathering and putting more flour, more water, and then this gold glory, and he was mixing it into the mix. And he was doing it at times hard and rough, and then at times he would fold it in so gently. And then it was like this vision just backed away, and I was in my dark room, and I smelled in the atmosphere the most beautiful smell, physical smell, like someone had baked the most fresh homemade bread that was just right out of the oven. It was mouth-watering smell, but it was fresh baked bread, and it was like he was saying that the process was finished. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is Corinth Church." And me being so young in the prophetic, I didn't know the full weight of what I was seeing, and I also had no idea what Kevin's heart cry to the Lord was. So I'll let you continue.
So with that, just keep that in mind, because here we come now into 2024. And I came in for prayer and worship on Friday night. Jerry walks in, and regular people that came in. And Sherry said something to the effect of, Lord told me something on the way here. And she says, I'm just going to throw it out there, whatever it means. She said, God's telling us that he's sending this church out. He's sending us out. He's getting prepared to send us out. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. We've been needing sent out for a long time. You know, I'm thinking of that. And I thought it was interesting. I didn't really know what to make of it. There was a little spark that hit me, though, when you said that. And so we began to worship and praise God. And suddenly, in my mind, it was as clear as looking at a picture, a photo. It was right in front of me. And I'm just going to read what I wrote down so I don't go all over the place with this. Here's what happened. I saw a large field with small rolling hills and with no borders. This field did not have edges where you could see the end of it. The field was plowed. There were no weeds, or should I say tares, in this field. There were no rocks in this field. It was just as pure as could be, and it looked like it had been freshly planted. The dirt in this field was deep and perfect brown. It looked like freshly planted. It was freshly planted with good seed. Everything was perfect in every way. The conditions would be so that a huge harvest would be coming from this field. Now, I grew up out in the country in the farms, and there's nothing better than to see a freshly plowed field, see it freshly planted, see those plants come up, and they're all neat, and you don't see weeds. It's just a beautiful sight. Then I realized this field I saw that was so beautiful and ready and had the seed, pure seed planted in it in perfect conditions with no rocks and no tares, was Corinth Church. It was the people in our church that represented this church body, the fertile soil in which the word was planted and would be producing a huge harvest from the perfected hearts of those in this church body. But this field didn't get this way overnight. And it got this way because the master gardener, the farmer of this field, being God himself, labored in this field in the hearts of the people of Corinth Church. The process of removing all the rocks, big and small, was a process of labor in the heart. Now, do you understand rocks? He said that he would replace a stony heart with a heart of flesh. Those rocks that got removed out of that field, you and I, he was working to get rid of all that stuff, to expose things. Rocks have to be exposed in a field to get rid of them. exposure of things within us that need to be removed, for these rocks would hinder the precious seed of his word from growing and producing a massive harvest. Those rocks also sadly represented people that would not yield to the Holy Spirit and allow God's power to rest on them to produce the good fruit of the Spirit and his power and gifts that would draw the lost to Jesus. And yes, they were sadly removed from this field. Now, as a pastor, it gets to me through all the years of people that come and go and why they come and go. The Holy Ghost begins to move and somebody gets offended and leaves. And the master of this field, the Lord himself, also removed all the tares, all the weeds that would choke out the precious seed from growing to full maturity and producing a massive harvest of wheat that represents souls that would be saved and preserved for all eternity. For as it grows, and even if tares grow later in this harvest, the wheat would be stronger and be easily removed from the tares on the day of judgment and a second coming to the harvest of this wheat. And you can read that reference in Revelation 13 when he will come with that sickle and remove the wheat from the tares. So the day is coming, church, when this process is completed and the field is ready to grow this harvest, when his work in this church has brought us to that place that a massive harvest of souls will happen. And I'm telling you, I saw no borders to this field. It went on and on. I didn't see the end of it. But the soil was ready. It was made perfect. It was made just right to plant that seed. So he says to us prophetically, prepare to go into the harvest, for it will be great. Get ready, for I am sending you out. And I believe that's exactly what you saw. My question as I close today, because he's been working on this church a while, will you be one of those laborers here? Or will you stubbornly refuse to allow him to break the fallow ground of your heart and hold on to that which he is exposing in you that must be removed? This is a call to sanctification, holiness, to get the junk out of us, the weights that drag us down, the stuff that hinders and chokes out the word of God. This is the work he's doing in this church. And when it gets to a certain place, then that harvest will begin to grow. And then you will be asked to go into that harvest, and it's going to be great. He is looking for his bride, the church. He has loved his bride with a holy, pure, and powerful love. Ephesians 5, 27, 26 and 27, I'm going to end there. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, and we are the bride of Christ, church, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And that is what his will is and what he is doing and wanting to do in you in this church. Will you allow it? Because I have seen people come and go. I've seen people that bucked against the Holy Spirit, and I didn't throw them out. They just left. I saw it happen from early on. But this is what he's been doing. And my prayer is that you stay with this harvest, that you stay. And you allow him to remove anything out of your heart that does not belong there. And you can start today. Lord, you know where the rocks are. You know where the tares are. If the harvest is to be great, even in me and you, that stuff's got to be removed. That was the pure heart that John Wesley used to always talk about. So I'm going to close this service, and if anybody wants to spend time in prayer up at these altars, wherever you want to pray, please begin the process now. Because we got a harvest coming. He's going to finish that prayer. He's going to answer that prayer that I prayed 17 years ago all the way to now. Lord, mold and make us into what you want us to be. Remove anything in us that's not pleasing to you. And give us what we lack. fill those places that what we lack from your Holy Ghost, from your beautiful, wonderful Spirit. Simple, it's not hard. Every farmer knows that when he plants a field, he wants the rocks out, he wants the weeds out, he wants a nice field to plant that precious seed in. And folks, that field is us. He showed that to me. He's going to do it. Will you be a part of it? Amen? Let's take some moment on reflection, and then at an appointed time, I'll close the service.